Nehemiah chapter 5, we're talking about two words, think first. Think first. Amen. Y'all have a problem speaking before thinking?
Yes.
I do. Why do we do that? A better question, why do we do that over and over?
Why?
It always causes a bigger problem than what we started out with, right?
Yes.
So the question then is, what is the biblical approach to solving this problem? And in Nehemiah, we're going to catch a glimpse of what to do about that. In Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 7. The Bible says, "And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also that were there that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." Then Nehemiah says this, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words."
Amen.
Verse 7, "Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them."
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.
Yes.
Lord, your word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that tonight you would cause your word to cut into our heart, open our eyes, and reflect to us like a mirror what we need to see from your word individually. Lord, help me to say what I should, so as to deliver your message to your people accurately. And I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Some of the wealthier Jews, now this is inside the camp of Jerusalem. Remember, Nehemiah had requested leave of the king of Babylon, where he was captive, along with many other Jews, so that he could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. That's what they're doing right now. And in the camp of Jerusalem are Jews. They're doing the rebuilding. All right? So some of these Jews are wealthier than some of these other Jews. And so what they're doing is they are capitalizing on their poverty. What they were doing is they were, as the Bible puts it, exacting usury on them. Usury is inflated interest on money, on borrowed money.
Right.
Kind of like your credit card.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's usury.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have to pay 5 or 7% on a loan, it's another thing to pay 25% on a loan.
Yeah.
And especially when you can only make such a small payment, you'll make that payment for the next, really the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. So they went and they told Nehemiah about it. And by the way, I see two things with this. One of them is, don't be greedy.
That's right.
It greed only leads to problems.
Yes, amen.
Not just for the person that you are inflicting something upon, but even on yourself. Mm-hmm. Greed is a sin.
That's right. Yeah.
So it causes problems on both sides.
Right.
The second thing that I see here is that we should show compassion on the needy, not capitalize on their predicament. I'm not saying you don't need to make money. You need to make money. But sometimes God puts that person there in your path who just needs some help.
Yes, amen.
And it may cost you something to help them.
Amen.
Time, money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you should do.
Amen.
That's what was going on here. These wealthier Jews, instead of, as Nehemiah put it, fearing God and doing what was right, they just got greedy and capitalized on the poverty and the need that these people had during the famine.
Lord.
It was bad enough as it was, and then here they come begging and asking for help, and those wealthier people said, okay, we'll help you. It's going to cost you. It's fine. We're starving. Don't be that person.
Amen.
So anyway, Nehemiah, he listens to these complaints of these poor, suffering Jews, and he gets angry. Anger is not a sin. What we do with it can be.
Yes, amen.
Most of the time, we get angry because we didn't get our way. Or didn't like what they said, or didn't like what they did.
Yeah.
Or we've been treated wrongly. That's most of the time what fuels our anger. None of these things should make us get angry. And even worse, should drive us to retaliate. Nehemiah had good reason to be angry.
That's right.
But even though he had a good reason to be angry, he didn't react. I like how the Bible puts it, I consulted with myself.
Yeah, amen.
When I read that, I immediately thought of Joseph, Mary's husband.
Yes.
When he got the news
right. That
Mary was pregnant. He knew it wasn't his. The Bible says that he thought on these things. And he considered what he ought to do.
Yeah.
Silently.
Yeah.
He didn't lash out. He didn't strike out. He didn't react. He just simply backed up from the situation. I picture him sitting down with his elbow on his knee and on his hand, maybe. And just thought on, that's what I pictured when I read what Nehemiah said. Then I consulted with myself.
Amen.
What he did, instead of reacting, it just took some time to think things over. When you read the verse, verse 6, and I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself. And I rebuked the nobles. I think that there was some time between I consulted with myself and I rebuked the nobles.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a 5-second interval. You and I know that it takes time to cool down.
Yeah.
That don't happen like that.
Amen.
You don't take a pot off the stove and immediately it's cold.
Right.
So I think there was some time there. Solomon said in Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression.
That's good.
There's times when you need to just let it go.
Amen.
That's what it means to pass over a transgression.
Amen.
Just let it go. Leave it alone. It ain't worth the fight.
Yeah.
Grievous words stir up anger. Just let it go. So, in the heat of the moment, how do I defer my anger? I hope you're on the edge of your seat here, because this is the question of the century.
Yeah.
Well, I know that if we don't make some commitments ahead of time,
yes, amen,
then when the temptation arises, we're going to slide right into sin.
Yeah, that's true. Amen.
Right? Especially when we face a repetitive issue.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the ant. Solomon says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. What does the ant do? The ant plans ahead of time for those days, weeks, or months that they cannot go out and gather food because it's either raining or it's just cold.
Yeah.
They plan for it. They say to themselves, you know what? Winter's coming. Not sure when, but it came last year and the year before. It's probably going to come this year. That's a repetitive thing, right?
Yeah.
They plan for it. So what should we do if we continually, repetitively get angry at the same thing over and over, maybe daily, every single day? What that should tell us is, you know what? It's going to happen tomorrow. So, because it's going to happen tomorrow, what am I going to do about it? Right now, when I'm not mad,
yeah,
right now, when I'm cool, I'm in my right mind, I can think straight, what should I do? How should I handle it? That's important, because if we wait until the heat of the moment, we're probably going to do the same thing we did the last time.
Right.
And the time before that.
Right.
And that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Making premeditated commitments is discreet. I'm going to reread Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. This is important. Solomon credits the discretion of a man for empowering him to defer his anger. I know this might sound simple to you, but you can't use discretion if you don't have discretion.
Right.
That's like trying to use a broom if you don't have a broom.
Right.
Or trying to use money if you ain't got no money.
Right.
We all know what that's like. Right?
Right.
So how do I acquire discretion? It seems to be a missing link here. Discretion is prudence, or knowledge and prudence. That which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. That's discretion. Everything in this definition is directly pointing at the wealth of knowledge in God's Word. Prudence. Knowledge and prudence. That which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct. Correct.
Yeah.
If it's in God's Word, it's correct.
Amen.
If it differs from God's word, it's not correct.
Yeah, right.
And what is proper? United with caution. This is screaming God's word all around.
Yeah.
Brother Bruce, I read my Bible every day. And I still get mad. And I still react sometimes when I shouldn't. Apparently, it ain't working. There's a reason for that. Y'all remember the Chilton's Manual? Anybody remember the Chilton's Manual?
Yeah.
Mostly men's raising their hands here. Women probably don't even know what the Chilton's Manual is. Any women in here know what the Chilton Manual is? Brenda, have you used one? You have? The Chilton's Manual, I don't think they make them anymore. But the Chilton's Manual was a manual on your vehicle. How to repair your vehicle. Back in the day before the internet became a thing, if you had a problem with your vehicle, you went up there to the auto parts store and you found the Chilton's Manual that had the year and make and model of your car or truck.
Right.
So if you had a 1985 Chevy truck, you went up there and you bought you a Chilton's Manual that had a 1985 Chevy truck on it. And if you were having brake problems with your Chevy truck, you would get your Chilton's Manual and you'd open it to page 1 and you would start reading. You would read a chapter today, then you would read a chapter tomorrow. The next day you would read the third chapter.
No.
And then hopefully somewhere along the way you would just somehow see how to repair the brakes on your 1985 Chevy truck. Right?
Yeah.
No. What I'd do is I would deliberately, diligently, probably even hurriedly, quickly find that chapter dealing with the brakes. I would intently read it. I would study it until I grasped the solution to my problem. I'd go to work utilizing my new knowledge that I just learned, create a plan of attack on these fouled up brakes, looking back repeatedly to that chapter.
Yeah.
Because I forgot it in just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'd look back and get a reminder crash course on what I needed to do in that manual to fix my problem. Are you getting it?
Amen.
It's fine to read your Bible a chapter a day, 2 chapters, 3 chapters, whatever. But if you're having a problem,
search the scriptures for it.
You need to find out what God has to say about that problem.
Amen.
You need to study that section of scripture intently, diligently, until you can create a plan of attack on that problem. And in two or three minutes, you're going to forget half of it. You might even have to go back and memorize it.
That's right. Come on.
We can't just stab in the dark, so to speak,
right,
of just reading a chapter of Proverbs and a chapter of Psalms and maybe a chapter out of one of the Gospels and think that that's going to prepare us for the problems of life. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to do. I'm just saying that if you're going to have a brake problem,
yeah,
you're not going to start in chapter 1 of the Chilton's Manual.
Right.
And just hope that somewhere along the way you get some knowledge that's going to help you with that problem, because you can't drive the truck until you fix it.
Come on.
You cannot apply knowledge in an area that you have no knowledge.
Amen.
David said in Psalms 119, 165, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Those that love the world have great vexation. Those that love God's word have great peace, for it outdoes their expectation. Matthew Henry said that, speaking about this verse in Psalms 119, 165. If we're going to act like Jesus, we've got to get to know Him better.
Amen.
You can't act like Jesus if you don't know Jesus.
Right.
If we expect to use discretion in the heat of the moment, we have to acquire it first by studying His Word diligently and decisively. You don't gain discretion just after being saved for a little while.
That's right.
I think sometimes that's what we believe.
Yeah.
Well, I've been saved for 10 years. I ought to know better.
Lord, help us.
Some people will have been saved for their entire life and never gain discretion. If you're going to learn to think before speaking, or learn to defer your anger, put it off for a while you think, you must first spend valuable time acquiring knowledge and discretion and wisdom, seeking for it in God's Word.
Amen.
Solomon said it like this. He says, "Buy the truth and sell it not."
Amen.
You know why I use the word buy it? Because it costs something.
Yes, it does.
What does it cost?
Time.
Your time. It costs crucifying the flesh.
Yes.
It's not, I'm just being honest here, it's not quite, not nearly as exciting to read your Bible as it is to watch some action-packed movie.
Right.
It's not as exciting to get on your knees and pray silently to God or verbally in your closet as it is to scroll through Facebook. It just isn't. Somehow, the world has designed a way to make that stuff so interesting that you can look at it and look at it and look at it and look at it, and all of a sudden, an hour later, wonder what in the world you were doing for the past hour.
Yeah.
It just isn't as exciting, but it's a whole lot more needful.
Amen.
And a whole lot more valuable. And by the way, you're never going to gain discretion and wisdom from TV.
That's right.
Unless you're watching a preaching service or something like that. We gain wisdom. We gain discretion after spending valuable time searching for it. That's our breakdown. That's why we still repetitively react instead of thinking before speaking. That's our problem. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for Your Word. Lord, we need Your Word. We need Your wisdom. Father, we need discretion and your knowledge. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to crucify our flesh and make time seeking your face, seeking your wisdom in your word.
Yes, Jesus, please.
Lord, I pray that you would give us discretion and wisdom that we so desperately need. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn 470. 470.